When will the violence stop in Egypt? Who is responsible? Why is Israel sending rocket launchers near the Egyptian border? On this edition of The Debate, we ask, what is the way out of the current crisis?
Deadly clashes continue in Egypt, weeks after a military coup toppled the country's first democratically elected president, Mohamed Morsi. The crisis has pitted Morsi's supporters against his opponents and security forces. A number of people have lost their lives over the past couple of days. Morsi's supporters have had one key demand over the past days, the ousted president's freedom. The military has so far resisted calls to release Morsi, who's said to be held at a military facility. Morsi's family has threatened legal action against what they call the junta in case they refuse to free their father.
On a personal level, we will immediately begin all processes against Abdel Fattah al-Sisi and his junta, both domestically and internationally.
Anger is running high among Morsi's supporters at the U.S. and other Western governments for their failure to condemn the coup. On Monday, they marched on the embassy to protest the U.S. role in Egypt.
We were near to Tahrir Square, next to Kasr Nil Bridge, and we heard gunshots and fireworks, and there was an exchange of clashes between anti-Morsi protesters and a march that was heading to the U.S. embassy.
Egypt's interim president Adli Mansour made a televised address to end the protests.
We want to open a new page, free of prejudice, hatred and division. We need to encourage whoever tries to do something for his country and not to destroy him. It's time for establishing a nation based on reconciliation with the past for the sake of the future.
Mansour's remarks have not calmed the situation. Tension and violence continues in the Arab nation of North Africa, which staged a revolution to topple a longtime ruler only in 2011. With a former regime gone, Egypt is now in the throes of what many fear could throw the nation into an abyss. They believe that the only solution to the crisis in the country is unity and dialogue among all political factions.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from Cairo is Mr. Sherif Rizk. He's with us. He's a political analyst with us live from Cairo. We are expecting another guest from Cairo as well. We will, of course, introduce him as soon as he is with us. So I'll put my first question to Mr. Rizk in Cairo. Now, Mr. Rizk, a lot of people are seeing the situation right now in Egypt and saying, well, you can't bring Morsi back to power or reinstate him. At the same time, you can't expect the political process to go forward in Egypt while the Muslim Brotherhood or other Islamic parties are ignored. So what is the way out of this that would include both the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamic parties, and those who are now out in the streets, and also push the country forward?
Can you please repeat the question again?
Yes, of course.
I couldn't catch everything.
Okay, Mr. Rizk, now the question I was posing was this. A lot of people are saying we can't reinstate Morsi now. That is quite unlikely. At the same time, we can't ignore the Muslim Brotherhood or push it out of the political process. So what is the way forward to resolve this crisis? Mr. Rizk, did you hear the question?
There's a problem in the voice. So I'm sorry, can you please repeat?
Yes, Mr. Rizk, I'll just speak a bit louder for you. What do you think is the solution right now for the crisis?
The situation right now is quite intense. It's a game of power. There is a physical presence of the Muslim Brotherhood in the street. Still, it does not allow them to do anything which is quite visible. They have lots of problems. They are starting to gain the hate of the people in the street. And in terms of power, they are not that powerful. And it might escalate a little bit. Violence might escalate because this is the last card they would have in order to play. I mean the leaders, not the people. The people believe in the Muslim Brotherhood, but the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood actually are trying to do things which are quite impractical. And I think they lost everything. They don't have political future. They might not be able to play any role in the near future in Egypt.
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood is saying, Mr. Rizk, that we can't come for a compromise. We can't come for dialogue when you are arresting our members, when you are violently cracking down on the protests. What about that?
They had the chance like 2 weeks ago. Now it's too late to start compromising. And the Muslim Brotherhood actually behave exactly the same tactics used by ex-President Morsi. Former President Morsi played till the last minute with the cards he's got. But in fact, he didn't play very well. Now it's too late to compromise or to hold dialogues with them, because actually yesterday they attacked Tahrir. We got 12 people got killed yesterday, and lots of injuries. There is a link between what's happening in Sinai and the Muslim Brotherhood. Nobody can deny that link. And this link actually between terrorists in Sinai and Muslim Brotherhood ended their political life. Whatever they say about compromise, about dialogue, is quite too late. It will never happen.
Well, you know, the thing is, the Muslim Brotherhood is saying just hours after Morsi was ousted from power by the military, these arrests started to happening. Members of the Muslim Brotherhood were arrested, and even Mohamed Morsi himself, the situation under which he's being held, his family has been saying that they've effectively kidnapped him because no one can communicate with him. No charges have been raised against him. Do you think the military could have took some actions to at least win more trust among supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood?
No, these were just precautions. So they wouldn't actually let him out, because actually the situation was quite unclear at the very beginning. But the steps taken by the Muslim Brotherhood in the street and the language they used, the attacking language, the aggressive language, turned everybody against them. Not everybody, I mean turned so many people against them. So, I mean, politically speaking, they did not handle the situation politically. They don't understand the game of power. In politics, we don't talk about what should be, we talk about what really is. What really is now is that they lost almost everything. So the thing is, they have to deal with the reality, and the kind of denial, the sense of denial they always show us will never help them. You have to play with the existing power and reality. You don't play about what should be, and President Morsi is legitimate, and all this language is quite nonsense. I mean, it will never help them. If we talk practically about what actually they can do very little, and they started using violence vehemently. So this will never help them again.
Well, the thing is, Mr. Rizk, a lot of people are saying now that what we're seeing are peaceful protests by supporters of the ousted president. We're seeing sit-ins, we're seeing rallies taking place on a daily basis, for instance, in Nasser City. But they're saying the side that is using violence right now is the military. Why are we seeing security forces attacking the protesters? Who would you blame for the violence, for the bloodshed that we're seeing? Who do you hold responsible?
Whoever is using violence, you cannot, for example, attack a military base anywhere in the world and then the military base will stay silent about it. You know, in the West, if there is demonstration, there are certain places that you cannot cross. If you cross, they will take you away. They will arrest you. So, I mean, the things they are doing in Rabaa al-Adawiyya, the things they are doing in Nahda are quite violent, and I don't think that the military and the police are firm enough. If they are firm enough, everybody has to get back home, because people cannot demonstrate all their life.
Well, there are also concerns, Mr. Rizk, that right now there are a lot of foreign agendas involved here. We've been seeing protests outside the U.S. Embassy, for instance, in Cairo. Some people are saying that Washington has an agenda here. We're hearing of Israel beefing security on the border with Egypt again, you know, on the Sinai Peninsula. So do you think right now the situation in Egypt is creating the opportunity for these foreign agendas to go forward? And is this going to be helpful?
I think that the Americans and the Israelis will work with the people in power. Americans and the Israelis are quite pragmatic, and they play the game of politics very well. They are very professional in doing that game. Like now the military is in power and there's a new government, so they play with them. They will try to kind of activate the policies, and you will see how the Israeli government is quite helpful and cooperative with the Egyptian government in actually ceasing Camp David for a while till they actually control the whole Sinai Peninsula. So the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't understand the game. Only Turkey is still lagging behind in terms of supporting legitimacy, and we know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about their own interests in the region, and they want to be the new superpower in the region. And actually, Egypt and the new government and the military spoiled and failed their plans to be a great power in the Middle East. So if we are talking about foreign policies, Americans and Israelis will actually cooperate with whatever government is in Egypt now.
Well, you know, for one, Benjamin Netanyahu, he's been quoted as saying that he hopes that Israel can restore relations with Egypt under the new leadership. Do you think the situation right now means that the new Egypt is going to have good relations with Israel? We're going to see, for instance, the situation in the Gaza Strip being affected, the situation for Palestinians there, and an Egypt that's more lenient than towards Washington and Israel. Is that what you're predicting?
Let's be realistic about it. Whatever government is in Egypt, they will never oppose Israel. Israel is a powerful country, and it's a great ally of the USA. So if the government is leftist, if the government is right-wing, if the government is Islamist, they will always cooperate with Israel. So I will never expect clashes between Egypt and Israel unless we have amateurs in the government or as a president. Because actually the game of politics is a game of power. So I don't expect that relation will go anywhere. They will stabilize. Maybe the new government in Egypt will have more talks, more relationship with Fatah, the West Bank and Ramallah, more than having like good relation with Hamas, because Hamas is Muslim Brotherhood as well. So they had good links with the Muslim Brotherhood when they were in power. But now I think there will be more kind of a strong relationship, a strong communication with West Bank and Ramallah, not with Gaza.
Okay, before we continue, I'd just like to let our viewers have a chance to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page about this debate. We'll take a look at those comments now and we'll be back with the rest of the program.
The foreign agenda in Egypt can clearly be seen just after the military coup, when messages of congratulations were received and billions of dollars donated by Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates. The US said the coup has saved the country from a civil war. The issue is not with Morsi, but with Egypt. They do not want a strong democratic country. The Muslim Brotherhood has played wrongly and should admit it. Now they cannot reverse time in Egypt and should compromise for a solution to skip any slipping toward paralyzing the country and pushing it into a civil war. The supporters of the coup have to be more realistic and know that they cannot remove Muslim Brotherhood from political life, as Mubarak himself could not.
Those were two comments that have been posted on our Facebook page by some of our viewers concerning tonight's debate. But now I'm hearing that with us on the line from Cairo, I think, is Mr. Hisham Al-Battal. He's a political activist. Let's get him into the debate as well. Now, Mr. Al-Battal, we have our guest earlier in the program saying that this way forward right now for the political process would be for an agreement to be reached and the political process to go forward. I asked him earlier, how can this happen when we've got the pro-Morsi rallies taking place? What do you think is the solution that would also include the Morsi supporters or the Muslim Brotherhood in the political process?
Actually, I didn't hear the question very clearly, but what I heard is, I'm going to answer the points I've heard. I think you were talking about a compromise coming soon, while the Morsi protesters rally in the streets. Is that the question?
Yes, the question is, what is the way out of this? I mean, is the possibility of a reinstatement, do you think that is a real possibility? I mean, a lot of people are now saying that bringing Morsi back to power is now not even remotely possible. Do you think that is still possible?
Yes, that is still possible, and that will represent a very good exit of the dilemma that Egypt, the whole Egypt, though, was put in by the coup. Because people are not willing to leave the streets. And millions of people are gathering every day, and several governors of Egypt, to protest the coup and to protest the bloody practices now being in place in Egypt. People think or see that the Egyptian police is being very wild, like it was 3 years ago, or even more wilder, and the Egyptian authorities or the coup authorities are practicing methodical violence against people, arresting people. Even there were rumors yesterday that a very large number of army officers are being detained in the military prison for not supporting the coup. So things in Egypt are going to explode more than we see now. And the massacres committed by the military coup authorities are increasing every day, and that is a sign of weakness, by the way. It's better seen as a sign of weakness by people here in Egypt.
But Mr. Battal, you're saying then that you think a reinstatement of Morsi is possible. You're saying that the demands that the ralliers have been making are legitimate demands. But looking at the reality of the situation, how can that happen? I mean, with the continued demonstrations on the street, is this going to change anything? Are these kinds of demonstrations going to force...
The demonstrations in the streets are taking a very dangerous curve those days, and are being tactically managed by people who I don't believe they belong to the Muslim Brotherhood organically. The surprise of demonstrating in front of places which are not usual for demonstrations, keeping the pressure in the street, which yesterday, for example, the Cairo International Airport was surrounded by protesters, pro-democracy protesters, and that led to the massacre yesterday. One more thing, I think those people, the protesters, pro-democracy protesters, are escalating against the coup authorities. In one very strange step yesterday, they went into a rally to surround the American embassy in Cairo, which is, I consider, an unprecedented step. That will, of course, lead to escalating things in Egypt, because people here in Egypt...
That's the case, Mr. Battal.
If I could just jump here... 63% of the Egyptians are against the coup.
Well, the question here for a lot of people is, if there's more violence in Egypt as a result of these demonstrations, we're going to see, you know, you say we've seen the crackdown take place. If these kinds of demonstrations, these kinds of oppositions continue on the streets, it's inevitably, they say, going to lead to more violence. That will only create an unstable Egypt and allow those with other agendas for Egypt to step in.
Yes. I agree with that, but if the people are, like, we can say that today, according to the statistics issued today, that 63% of the Egyptians think are against the coup, and therefore they think that the United States is supporting the military coup in Egypt, and the coup authorities, according to tactical or strategic calculations, depend on two things, on the military and its being together, and on the United States, from on the other hand, the United States yesterday, one leader of the Freedom and Justice Party of the Muslim Brotherhood called the Egyptian people to surround the American embassy. That means that they want the American embassy.
Well,
the people are angry against the Americans here in Egypt,
which
might lead to further threatening of the American interests in the region.
Okay, I'm afraid I've got to stop you there, if I may, because we are very short in time, and I've just got enough time to put the concluding remarks and the last question there to our guest in Cairo waiting there for us. Mr. Risk, I guess they were saying there on the line that you can't expect to create a democracy, I mean, he was suggesting, when you force a democratic leader out of power. This is not going to work. How do you respond to what was just said there?
Let's say that in all democracies all over the world, and that's something they always deny, there is something called recall. And recall is when people decide that they want to recall, get back their votes. And so they get the number of people and they apply, and then we have something called like re-election or a questionnaire about the validity of the president, which Mr. Morsi refused. So, and that led actually to people heading out in the street. This is a real fact. Mr. Morsi did not read the realities. He only said there were only 130,000 people in the streets. There were millions.
Yes.
And the guest on the other side said the strange things, which are sheer lies. First of all, the protesters couldn't go to the airport yesterday. This is a fact. The protester couldn't go to the American embassy yesterday. The police prevented them. It's also a fact. I don't know how he got this information. If they are always in denial, they will never be able to do
Mr.
anything
Risk,
in
I'm
reality.
I'm afraid I've got to stop you because we've
denial,
run out of time.
They took power, and now what's really interesting?
Yes, I'm afraid I've got to stop you. I'm really sorry because we're out of time. Mr. Sherif Risk with us, the political activist from Cairo.
Yeah,
thank you so much for your time. I'd also like to thank our guest who is with us on the line from Cairo, Mr. Hisham Al-Battal, a political activist. Thank you so much for staying with us on another edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lesgi. Until our next program, goodbye.